tender and warm. Down in the Ozarks, back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, neighbors. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord. Good morning, May.
Good morning, Jim. He announced me like I was somebody, didn't he? Say, Jim, I ought to ask you something right now. Did you ever announce, were you on the radio at Shenandoah, Iowa?
Yes.
Well, there's an awfully nice man that come here to town to live, and he said that he used to hear you so much from Shenandoah, knew your voice, and he didn't know you were here. It's been a year or so ago. And he said the first voice he ever tuned in on radio here was Jim Kendrick. He couldn't believe it.
May, I was there for 7 wonderful years, in fact.
Shenandoah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, he said he knew your voice like he knew his own.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed it, but of course now I'm an Ozarkian, you know.
Oh, he's a hillbilly now. He's a hillbilly now, that's all there should. I've had so many compliments on his singing for me the other day, I'm going to make him sing again before long. Maybe I can make him, I don't know. Well, good morning, friends, and how are you this morning? And have you enjoyed the cold weather we've been having? That's what I want to know. And I mean cold. I sleep with as much cover at night as I ever did at any time in the winter. Now, and I've slept under a blanket all summer. So have a lot of other people I know. Have you, Henry? Oh, well. We shouldn't be complaining at that, and one glorious thing is that we've had rain, blessed rain. My, what water means to this old world. You know, you can live without food, and you can go as a month or 2 months, they have been known, but not water. Of course, you've been reading about the awful scarcity of water in Hong Kong. Of course, that's quite a long ways from us, but I guess the drought there is fierce. In hotels, they say, they bring you one bucket of water a day, a small bucket to your room, and you have to do with that all day for drinking and bathing and shaving and so forth. The rich people who go over and stop at the fashionable hotels that Americans have built there in Hong Kong, they're flying in water for their use in jets. Oh, we Americans, we're the stuff, aren't we? Yes, we're the stuff, but you know, the news doesn't always read so good. For instance, I read last evening about one thing, to mention only a few, bank robbery. Maybe you all read that. Banks in the United States are being held up today, it says, at a rate that outdoes anything in history. That's what it said. The article says that the exploits of Jesse James and his gang and John Dillinger and all the rest don't even make a black mark to what the robberies of banks do now in the 1960s. Millions of dollars it goes to. The robberies are usually hardened criminals, they said, but not always. Sometimes they're nervous amateurs. Several times they've been almost youngsters, and 2 or 3 times women. It said one robber was a woman who was expecting a baby very soon. She carried a pistol and got several thousand dollars. Sometimes the robbers carry a pistol, and sometimes they carry an acid to throw in the face of the bank teller at the window and burn his eyes out and burn his face beyond recognition. Federal agent Hoover, FBI Hoover, says the trouble of it is, one trouble, that the robbery itself is exciting and big headlines, and so all the papers neglect to tell of the arrest of the robber. They put in the big story. Then they forget to tell about the arrest, which is indeed often. And the recovery of the loot and the prison sentence are many times the death sentence which follows if they have killed a bank teller. And he says this leaves the false impression that bank robbery offers a good way to get rich quick. Then another thing in our land is that we are killing people in automobiles, I read, faster than any 6 countries on the face of the earth. Any 6. And doing really mighty little about it. Mighty little. Oh, yes, I may live to see the day that my prophecy will come true. They'll go right into the factories and take the speed out of those things. Then when you take the bug juice out of the fellow that's driving it, why, and the stump water, whatever you want to call it, and as to liquor and bug juice, that's consumed, the liquor's consumed in the United States. I won't even quote you the amount yearly, because you wouldn't believe it. I didn't, but I knew it was a fact. It was right there in the paper. You would say, where did that come from? Well, it really, my statistics, I get the monthly, regular statistics of everything. And believe me, they all come from the right place. I used to get them from the Office of War Information. They sent them to me. Somebody in our country isn't on the job, and I believe it is 90% we who profess to be Christians and profess to stand for honesty, sobriety, and the Ten Commandments. I quote this little statement from the church Sunday bulletin from my little home church in Galena, which Pastor Whitmer is so kind to send me now and then. It says, too many churchgoers are singing, standing on the promises, while they're merely sitting on the premises. I thought that was a hot one. And Brother Whitmer, I give my love to your wife. Mrs. Whitmer has been ill and had surgery here in the hospital. But thank heaven she just came out of it fine, and bless her heart. She went home now the other day, and I know she's doing all right. Well, I hate to be complaining all the time, but you know I'm a sort of crazy squirrel, prone to talk about what goes on inside of my noggin. And sometimes it isn't very interesting. I read about the teacher telling the class to write a little composition. She said now to the children not to try to use big hard words or fancy oratory, but just write what's really inside of you. So this was one of the star productions from the small lad. He said, I shall not try to write, R-I-T-E, write any big words or flowery writing, but write what is really in me. In me there is my stomach, my lungs, my liver, 6 cookies, and my dinner. You know, that wasn't such a bad composition after all. He really wrote what was in him. And they say that's a good rule of writing. Just write what's inside of you. I was intrigued with our Charlie Williford's column in last Sunday's Leader, talking about superstitions and about lightning of the olden days, the superstitions. It called them back to me. And he mentioned the old belief that a dog's tail drew lightning. I think they believe it yet, a great many people. I remember that when a child, I was scared almost into fits to get near a dog if lightning was going on. And people would often grab up a helpless little puppy if it was in the house and poke it right outdoors in the rain if a storm and lightning was going on. Then I was sorry for the pup. Then I didn't want his tail in the house either. And do you remember how we used to always try to get on a feather bed if it lightninged? I don't know how that ever got started, but it's a mighty old one. If there was ever anything in my life that brought terror to me, it's lightning and wind, and it is yet. My father was the same way, and I must have inherited it. My father was a brave man and a quiet, settled, sane, sensible businessman, but he scarcely acted like he was sane during a storm. I guess he just couldn't help it. Yes, as Charlie Williford writes, they called the lightning fire of the gods. Only I heard it when I was a kid called more often fire from Satan. Fire from Satan. And Charlie recalled the one I always heard of, you know, too, that nobody would burn the wood from a tree struck by lightning. No, ma'am, they wouldn't. They said it was the devil's wood. The devil's wood. And it would bring bad luck. Well, you know, those things are superstition, but they're folklore, and they show the coming up of a race. They came from the childhood of the race, when we were not so enlightened as now, and people have to learn, you know, as they come along. I could tell you many things called superstitions then which are not superstitions now at all. I'll tell you some sometime. Now they are facts explained clearly as facts. Well, I want to say hello, and God bless you to the Berry Tours people. I'm now with the Berry Tours people again for the 6th year, the manager told me. I thought it was just 4. I guess I don't know how to count. I believe he's mistaken yet. I believe this is the 4th year. Their very tour of people are in their big bus on the way back to St. Louis, and I know they had a grand time going over the Ozarks, and God bless you, every one of you. Hope to see you again. I want to announce that tomorrow's the big singing at Red Top in the church there. Red Top is 10 miles this side of Buffalo, and you turn off a road, and it's a splendid road, too. You know, I never could give directions, oh land. I'll never be able to. Directions were just left out of me, like some people are colorblind and tone deaf and all that sort of thing. And, well, this great old-time singing was established many years ago by Mr. T.N. Cassidy, the father of Tony Cassidy, who is a sort of godfather to this singing now. I don't know what they do without him. This is its 72nd year, he tells me. It is mostly the singing of the old-time songs and the shape note songs, but there's lots of all sorts of singing, too. And a big dinner on the grounds. I have been going for about 4 years now, and I love it, but I'm afraid I can't go this time. I have been under the doctor's care for a month with a rush of high blood pressure. I'm very much better, but he wants to keep me from going and gadding as much as he can, and believe me, he's having a time of it. I can tell you that. Certainly is. But I should be careful. I'm really disappointed, for I just have about decided I can't go to Red Top this time with the Cassidys, who are such fine people. They always take me. Now, Virginia, if you were over here, I might try to go. You take such good care of me. Wish you was over here. But I want to announce this fine singing to everyone. And if you'll never regret the day if you go. We must not let these landmarks pass away. And then they tell me that the North Side, at the North Side General Baptist Church tomorrow, at Turner and Golden, there's a big, they call it the Fourth Sunday Singing Convention. I went to that one time. Mr. John E. Ward is the president, and he sent me the, and it's a fine thing. You ought to go to that, too. I so often think of our beloved Mary Elizabeth Mankey, who died and left us, and as it was said of Lincoln, she left a lonesome place against the sky, and how she immortalized and loved the old things of our hills. There's nobody like her. And next Sunday, I'll read you a lovely little poem of hers about that very sort of thing. And I think now that's all that I had on my mind to announce, and as I say, we must keep the old things. And so, goodbye, and I'll be seeing you. And I want to thank you for the trading stamps. Oh, and I'll tell you more about that next Sunday. We're coming along wonderful. And you women who can, you're awful sweet. But if you can, whenever you can spare any, send me some, please. Goodbye, and I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek don't rise.